This is North Shore Today for Friday, June 2, 2017. Paul Layton writes in the Salem News, a community group is asking the state to delay the closure of the inpatient pediatric unit at Salem Hospital over concerns about its impact on kids and their families. The Lynn Health Task Force said hospital officials have failed to answer several questions about the closure, including who would pay for ambulance rides into Boston and how parents who accompany their sick child would get home. In a letter to the Massachusetts Department of Public Health on Tuesday, the task force called Salem Hospital's post-closure plan inadequate and said it places an unfair burden on families. It asks state regulators to delay the closure, which is set for June 23, and to monitor the hospital's care of pediatric patients. A spokeswoman for the DPH said Thursday that the agency has outlined several conditions that the hospital must address concerning the closure. The hospital has until June 9 to submit its response, according to the article written by Paul Layton. Much more on that in today's Salem News. Former President John Kennedy was remembered last night in an event held at the Lynn Museum. Bill Newell has that story.
History was brought to life Thursday night in a crowded room at the Lynn Museum. Bridget Turcotte writes on today's front page of the Daily Item of Lynn. In honor of what would have been President John F. Kennedy's centennial birthday, former Lynn Mayor Thomas Costin Jr. told hundreds of listeners' ears about their unique and loyal friendship. Quote, Jack told me to make sure that in the days leading up to an event, that you make sure you get a little tan, he said. Costin, and on the night of the event, make sure that you wear a blue shirt. And so I did. The 35th President of the United States would have celebrated his 100th birthday on Thursday, May 29th of this year. The event was hosted by the Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, and Essex Media Group, and moderated by Essex Media Group publisher Ted Grant. In a forum called Jack and Tom, the friendship of President John F. Kennedy and Mayor Thomas Costin, Costin, now 90, described how he formed his long-standing relationship with Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1963. In the year 1947, the then U.S. Representative Kennedy was planning to expand his base beyond the 8th Congressional District, but it was his father, Ambassador Joseph P. Kennedy Sr., who was responsible for their initial meeting. Shortly after Costin was elected, the youngest serving mayor of Lynn, a stint that lasted 6 years, he received a call from the ambassador who requested to meet with him over lunch. Quote, I said, I'm awful busy. I was just elected mayor. That was Costin, then just 21 years old, who eventually gave in and arranged to meet with him. Joseph Kennedy Sr. wanted to build an organization around his son for young people, like Costin, who had ambition, he said. It wasn't long before Kennedy and Costin were bantering over ice cream drinks and tie clips. Quote, Jack would call me at City Hall, said Tom. I'm coming in. Can I drop in and see you? And before he hung up, he would say, I'd like to get a frap and a chicken salad wrap at that place across from City Hall. He always wanted a frap, and of course, I always had to pay, said Costin. During one such visit, Kennedy left behind his tie clip. He called the next day and requested Costin send it to him in the mail, but Costin refused, claiming finder's rights. I said, Jack, someday in the near future, you're going to be president of the United States, and he said, you're nutty, and hung up, he said. The tie clip was eventually given back to Kennedy, who gifted it to Costin outside the White House while looking at the new navy blue presidential limousine with a plastic bulletproof top, said Costin. There's more on this story in today's edition of the Daily Item of Lynn. For North Shore Today, MSO News Sports, I'm Bill Newell. Rick?
All righty, Bill. Thank you, sir. Dustin Luca writes in today's Salem News, Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll's appointment to the city's Housing Authority Board remains on hold because of what some city councilors see as a conflict of interest. In the meantime, the five-member board, which oversees the Salem Housing Authority and all its properties, among other duties, continues to work with a vacant seat. Governor Charlie Baker appointed Driscoll to the board on January 18. If approved, Driscoll would replace past city planner Bill Luster, the state's previous board appointee, but the appointment remains tied up in the council's Ordinances, License, and Legal Affairs Committee. City Chairman and Councilor at Large, Committee Chairman rather, and Councilor at Large Jerry Ryan said, I've looked as far as I could. I've never seen a mayor, as far as I could find, appointed to a housing authority in Massachusetts. Much more in the story written by Dustin Luca in today's Salem News. Matt Demers writes on itemlive.com, when Maria Delios was younger, the future Cane's Donuts owner didn't understand what her father, the owner at the time, meant when he told their family, "Donuts are love." After years of working at the family-owned business in Saugus and seeing the smiles of customers biting into their donuts, Delios now sees exactly what he was talking about. Friday today is National Donut Day, the unofficial holiday celebrated on the first Friday in June. Chicago hosted the first National Donut Day in 1938 to honor the Salvation Army Donut Girls. Cane's loyalists are ready to mark the tasty holiday today. Plenty of specials today on itemlive.com, story written by Spencer Hazak. Ray Lamont writes in today's Gloucester Times, for the past 10 years, Dennis Silva has shut down his topside grill and pub each January, laying off staffers for 10 weeks and hoping regular customers would return when the restaurant reopened in April. Now, that should no longer be the case. Silva came away the winner Wednesday night when the licensing board in Gloucester awarded a rare year-round all-alcohol license to the topside for the cost of the city's $2,400 annual license fee. Silva and the topside beat out five other applicants for the license, which effectively grants the year-round license in place of the seasonal license the topside has held for 10 years. More on this story written by Ray Lamont in today's Gloucester Times. This is North Shore Today on MSO News Sports.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell with a North Shore Sports Update. In this report, let's check in on MIAA Tournament North Shore Baseball. Gloucester defeated Beverly 5-1 yesterday in Beverly. Fisherman head coach Brian LaFada got a strong pitching effort from pitcher Mark Finney.
I mean, Mark did what he did for us all year long. We have 11 appearances. He just told the guys that he made one of the few unanimous all-league players. Every team voted him in, and he deserved it. 3 years, he was a great pitcher for us, and now he obviously... He's earned every game out. I feel like we can pitch against anyone. He'll keep us in games. It's a matter of if we make the plays and get a run, which today we made the majority of plays. We almost let them back into the game with the miscommunication at second base on a double play ball. But Mark Finney, he is who he is right there. That's what I expect every time out for him. He's a competitor. He does it the right way. He respects the game. And that was just a great game for Mark.
For the Gloucester hurler, Finney did not allow a lot of hard-hit balls.
No, I did a pretty good job of keeping hard-hit balls to a minimum. But defense was there for me today, and it was good to get a good team win.
For Beverly and their coach, Dave Wilbur, it was a tough loss.
You got to give credit to Gloucester today. They came in here, and the kid Finney was outstanding, and they got a couple of key hits, and they took advantage of some of the mistakes that we made. So today, Gloucester deserves to win, and congratulate them and wish them the best moving on. But I'm really proud of our team. We've had a great year, and today just didn't go our way, but we've won 16 ball games. We've had a great season.
Other scores yesterday, Salem 6, North Andover 4, Marblehead 6, Boston Latin 4. Cambridge edging Peabody 3-2. It was Danvers over Woburn 9-1. Weston edging St. Mary's 3-2. Swampscott 4, Stoneham 1. Luke Marshall with the win on the mound. Masconomet 3, Dragon nothing. Winthrop 8, Mystic Valley nothing. Austin Prep 7, Newburyport 2. Shawsheen 7, Northeast 2. Rockport defeated Matignon 13-0. Rockport coach Sean Parisi.
Well, we had a big inning in the third inning, I believe. And we put six runs or seven runs up on the board. And that was a combination of bunts, stolen bases, and...
Coach Parisi adds that Danny Ryan, his hurler on the mound yesterday, pitched very well.
Slow in the first inning. He had almost a 30-pitch inning in the first inning. Walked a couple guys, but we got out of that jam. And after that, he threw another five innings and only threw 70 pitches. So... He turned around.
In softball, the Marblehead Magicians fell to Tewksbury 6-3. After the game, Coach Johnny Gold from Marblehead Softball.
And we left runners on. We knew we had to beat a team like that. We knew we had to take chances.
Yeah.
You know, they come from a division. It's no excuses. I hate excuses because you're not going to hear from me. They come from a stronger division than what we play in.
Yeah.
Okay? So you play a team like that, you got to take chances to win. They hit it.
Marblehead had a very good softball season, ending at 15-6. That's Coach Johnny Gold. The complete scoreboard from yesterday is up on our website, msonewsports.com. Saugus Athletic Director and Vice Principal Mike Nelson is headed to Greater Lawrence Technical High School as their athletic director. That's sports. This is MSONewsSports.com.